Thank you very much. Oh, suddenly there's a lot of people out there. Am I feeling a bit more nervous? Thank you for a lovely week with you this week. I've had a little bit of a cold this week, so my throat's a little bit scratchy. But I want to sing for you a Mongolian song. We sang in our songs today that to love one another and to show that you love Mongolians, you have to learn one of their songs. So for the team who are going to visit Mongolia later this year, or next year, you don't have to sing a Mongolian song, but work on a song that you can sing to them because they love music. Mongolians often sing about going away from home and coming to visit their mum and dad again, because many of the children go to boarding school because their families are moving around and they have to go away from home to go to school. So this song in English says, I left my mum and dad to study in a faraway place. I made my parents cry when I left. But when the cuckoo sings and the dappled flower blooms, meaning when it's springtime, I will come and visit you again. Hone gat sara hera dem sor har hore der te hebi chen hok shon bar se ji ge hori ho gar sanda homs kun dor o no si mas mislim ru se do sa do se ne te o ho kon do ni i hing sar da ho cho zo lo kon do o El tingat sara hirdim sor har hurre dirite biten Had san bor al saviga hori hod gar sanda En skandor oh no simas bislim rulle dot la dot sen hafda Allag tzitzkling nechin sarda o tchot solo gondo Chotsalakonto. I feel better now. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for loving the whole world, including us. Thank you for how you made us and you celebrate our lives and you just want to bring us into freedom and into goodness. So we say yes to you today for the plan that you have for us, for our lives, and we pray that you make that more clear today to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it, when God puts his hand on us and he calls us to a particular ministry or to a spiritual task. I wonder, have you experienced God like that in your life? When God calls us, it may require us to go a long way and to learn another language and culture. Maybe two times. For me, it was two places. Or it may be that he calls you just to walk across the road and to love your neighbour. But either way, when we say yes to God, when we obey him, it's life-changing, eternally, both for us as we hear and we act upon that call, and for the people who will receive us as God's messenger. Today we looked at a very interesting passage of Scripture. It has to do with a missionary call, but it also has to do with a missionary heart. In my Bible, this passage of Scripture is called the conversion of Saul. That is correct, but I think it's also probably the beginning of the calling of Saul. Remember, his name was changed and he became the great missionary statesman Paul, the Apostle Paul. And in verse 15, the Lord Jesus tells Ananias a little bit of information about this man Saul. It says in Acts chapter 9, verse 15, Saul is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. Think about that for a minute. Saul's job description was that of the super missionary. He was called to proclaim the gospel to both those inside and outside of the Jewish faith. Well, that's the whole world, isn't it? And how dramatic was his encounter with the Lord Jesus? It was spectacular. It was very public. It was terrifying. I wonder if God has been calling you that way. He didn't really call me that way. But often we read just this chapter and we only see Saul. But there's another person in this story, another worker in Acts chapter 9. His name is Ananias. And what a beautiful heart this man has. He also receives a call from the Lord Jesus, but his call is a call to release Saul into ministry. How did Ananias receive his call? Verse 10 tells us that the Lord Jesus spoke to Ananias in a vision. Does God still speak to his people today through visions, do you think? If you've heard any stories about Muslim people, many of them have come to know Jesus from him showing up in a vision. In my city in Mongolia, I met a wonderful German lady and we quickly became friends and prayer partners. It's good that she speaks English because I don't speak any German. One day she said to me, "Ali, I want to tell you a story." She said, "I was in a big church, about 200 or 300 people, just like today. It was a worship service. We were all standing up. But it seemed like there was only God and me in the building." She said, "While I was singing, I had a vision. And in that vision, the Lord Jesus told me to be a missionary in the country of North Korea." God still speaks to his people through dreams and visions. She is preparing to go to North Korea, even though the door of that country is not open yet. She is learning Korean while she lives in Mongolia. She speaks Mongolian already. She's been there for 15 years. Why does she want to stay in Mongolia and learn Korean? Well, she lives in the old part of my city, and in the old part of my city they have no hot water. Sometimes she has no cold water. And she knows that living in Mongolia is much more luxurious. It's a higher standard of living than if she goes and lives in North Korea. She doesn't want to go back to Germany in case she gets too comfortable. She wants to stay battle ready for the day that God takes her into North Korea. Perhaps Ananias was having a regular time of prayer when Jesus spoke to him. We don't know. Perhaps he was weeding the garden. Most often God speaks to me very clearly when I'm weeding the garden. You know that, right? You don't have to be sitting down in a special chair for God to speak to you. He can speak to you all the time. But the Lord called Ananias by name, personally. And God is going to call you too, in a personal way, in a way that grabs your attention and it makes sense to you. How does Ananias respond when Jesus calls him? Well, it's different from Saul. Saul says, "Who are you, Lord?" He doesn't know it's Jesus. He means, "Who are you, person bigger and stronger and scarier than I am?" But when Ananias hears, he says, "Here I am, Lord." Can't you just feel God's delight when he hears somebody say that? "Here I am." I wonder, are you able to recognize God's voice these days? Or have you let other voices crowd him out so you can't hear him anymore? Are you still wide open in your heart to whatever the Lord is asking of you? Can you still say like Ananias, "Here I am, pick me"? I started my working career as a primary school teacher. I taught 8 and 9 year old children. And I just loved their enthusiasm. When I asked them a question, they would go like this. I don't think they do it at school anymore, but my children used to go, "Oh, oh, oh, Miss Dench, Miss Dench, oh, oh." It's like they were so enthusiastic, they nearly threw their arm at me. And one day, I was teaching about the 3x table. And I went home and I made up a number line to go at the front of the blackboard. 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Maybe I shouldn't have sang that Mongolian song. Is there any vodka in there, Johnny? In Mongolia, I drink vodka all the time. Thank you. I made up this number line, and they had to learn the 3x table. Thank you. So they had to do 3, 6, 9, 12, like that. So on every third number, I had a little green spot, like the lily pad. And I made a little frog that sat on a stick so he could jump lots of 3. So I showed the children how he jumped. And I thought, I must be the most fantastic teacher in the world. It was just my first year of teaching. And I thought, I'm going to be so fantastic. They're going to fly me around the country and ask me to teach the 3x table to everybody because this is such a fantastic lesson and I'm such a fantastic teacher. So the next day I went to school and I had my frog and I had my number line and I showed the kids, "Look, he just jumps lots of 3. And let's make him jump 2 lots of 3. Oh, it's on number 6. Let's make him jump 3 lots of 3. Oh, it's number 9. And so finally the big test came to see if they could do it by themselves. So I said, "Who can tell me what 4 lots of 3 is?" And they're like, "Oh, oh, Miss Dench, Miss Dench, Miss Dench, Miss Dench." And there was one little girl there, a little sweet little face, Angela. I still remember what she looks like. And I said, and she looked very enthusiastic. And I thought, it's very good as a teacher if you choose somebody who's going to give you the right answer. Because then you can reinforce that, you know, the lesson. And then she gave me an answer that nearly finished my teaching career. In fact, I think I went home and cried that night. I said, "Yes, Angela." And she said, "You know, Miss Dench, I have been looking at you for a long time. And you have a face just like my uncle's." And I thought, it doesn't matter how fantastic a teacher you are, if the child's not listening, it just goes straight over their head. And then I began to think, what is it about my face that makes her think I'm like her uncle? Maybe I need to like trim my moustache a little bit or something. But I'm telling you that story because sometimes when I'm alone and I'm praying I remember what those children were like and how enthusiastic they are. And I say to my Father in heaven, pick me, Father. Keep picking me for the great things of God. Don't miss me out. I want to go on this adventure with you. Well, God does pick Ananias, and then he goes on to explain to Ananias what the ministry task looks like. And it's kind of easy to read this passage of Scripture, especially if we just focus on Paul, on Saul, and we can forget the horror and the intense fear that flooded into Ananias' heart. I wonder if you've had that experience when God's called you to do something. Was Ananias unsure of what to do next? No, the Lord's instructions were very clear and specific. In verses 11 and 12 it says, "Get up and go to the street called Straight." Maybe there are a lot of windy streets in that city. "And at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment he is praying." I wonder if that is a clue, because, you know, the Jewish people would pray five times a day. Maybe it wasn't one of those times, but this man was still praying. I wonder if that was a clue. "And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so he might regain his sight." These are very, very clear instructions. You can almost hear Ananias say to the Lord Jesus, "Yeah, but I'm not the only Ananias in this city. Maybe it's a different Ananias that he saw in the vision, not me." Because Saul's reputation of being a helper in the murder of Christians had reached the city of Damascus before the man did himself. And Ananias is scared stiff of what it might mean for him to even lay his eyes on Saul, even to look at Saul, he's scared. But God is asking him to lay his hands on Saul in public ministry. He is absolutely terrified. In fact, in English, laying of hands has got two meanings, hasn't it? You can lay hands on someone when you pray for them, or you can lay hands on someone when you grab hold of them and you arrest them and you take them to prison. Ananias doesn't want to lay hands on Saul. Saul wants to lay hands on Ananias to take him to prison. So it's quite interesting in English, isn't it? Ananias cannot get his human mind, his logic, around what the Lord is asking him to do. It does not make sense to him. But you know, the move of God's Spirit on earth doesn't usually line up or make sense to our human logic. It doesn't make sense for my German friend to go into North Korea with the gospel. But it makes a lot of sense to God's kingdom and his purposes. She has already been to that country twice on a tourist visa, and there's a North Korean ambassador in Germany that they know, her team knows, and he has managed to give them permission to take shipping containers into North Korea, and they've already taken tractors from Germany into North Korea and other medical equipment and all sorts of things to bless the people there. What is the Lord asking you to do? Do you know what the next step is? When God speaks to us, he usually shows us just the next step. Are you faithfully taking that next step, or are you, like Ananias, paralyzed by fear? If you're frightened, that's normal. But don't stay in that place. Let God's voice and God's Spirit fill you with his heart for the lost. At some point, it's not how cold Mongolia is or how dangerous North Korea is. If it's God that's calling you, it's a matter of trust, of faith, of obedience and of love. What we're really saying is, can I put the whole weight of my precious life into the hands of my Father in heaven? Can I really do that? It's a matter of faith. Ananias did that. My German friend is doing that with her life. At first, Ananias objects to, or he refuses, the call. But when then, after a little while, when he's had a chance to pour his heart out before the Lord, and the Lord continues to say, go, Ananias obeys. But I want you to notice something very special about Ananias' heart. What does he say to Saul when he finally lays hands on him? Have a look at verse 17 if you have a Bible there. It's like TV, that was the commercial break. Acts 9, chapter 17. I think these words show the heart of a true missionary. I'll just wait a few minutes because some of you are still finding it. It's Acts chapter 9, verse 17. It's good to see that some of you have your paper Bible with you. You know, when I first came back to Australia, I wasn't used to people having like their mobile phone, and they were looking for things like their Bible on their mobile phone. And I thought as soon as I got up to preach, everybody was like texting messages to their friends. I was so discouraged. Now I'm a bit more technically able. Chapter 9, verse 17. I think these are the words that show the heart of a true missionary. Ananias lays his hand on Saul and he says, Brother Saul, my brother. Can you believe that? For how long has Saul been a brother in Christ? Well, for 3 days. And Ananias is not really sure if he has become a brother. 3 days ago, Saul was the powerful enemy of Ananias. But now, through the Holy Spirit, Ananias has been able to agree with God's truth about Saul's new character, been able to forgive Saul to some extent, and embrace him wholeheartedly into the family of God. Isn't that a miracle? To be able to forgive and to bless the enemy. Didn't we sing that in one of our songs today? Something about blessing those who curse you? Just before I left my city in Mongolia, it was going through a difficult time, a little bit of an anti-Christian, anti-foreigner kind of a feel in my city. And I went to dinner with some friends to a Chinese restaurant. The best restaurants in my city are Korean and Chinese. We went to a Chinese restaurant. There were about six of us or five of us, single ladies, and I was the oldest one. And we had a beautiful meal. And just as we stepped outside the restaurant, we were crossing the car park, and this guy in his car, he was stationary, stopped. He revved up the engine, and he came flying towards us to scare us. And just before he got to us, he slammed on the brakes. Second commercial break. Thanks for your patience with me. He slammed on the brakes. And I was shocked because nothing like that had ever happened to me in Mongolia. And I could feel that I started to grip my fist like that. I think because I was the oldest one, I felt responsible for all the other women. I was like the mother hen with all her chickens. And all I wanted to do was get my fist and punch it into the back of his car, even though probably his car would have won. But just as I was about to do that, the Holy Spirit said to me, "Don't do it, Ali. It's not a very good idea." And then he said to me, "Now, you forgive that guy." So right there while I was in the car park, I began to forgive him, just quietly in my heart. Nobody else knew what was going on. And then the Holy Spirit told me a third thing. The third thing was much harder. He said, "Now you pray a blessing on that man." Whoa, have you ever done that? I've had some horrible things happen to me in my life. I was abused as a child and a teenager. And I've had to forgive those people. But the last part of my healing was when I was able to bless them, to lift them up to God in prayer and pray that God would bless their lives and bring something good out of their lives. So I've learnt the power of blessing people. So there I am in the car park. I'm still walking across the car park and I began to pray for this man. I don't know anything about him, if he's married or has children, or prayed a blessing on his car. I knew I needed to do that, because if I didn't do that, the next day when I would wake up, that anger would have turned into bitterness. And the bitterness would have turned into a lump of cement in my heart. And the next time that I wanted to love a Mongolian, something would stop me because of the cement in my heart. Being able to forgive and bless the enemy, that's what Jesus did for us, didn't he? The Bible says that while we were still sinners, we didn't care about him. We were walking in our own direction, doing our own thing. He came and died for us to love us and bring us back to God. That's what Jesus did for us, and that is the very missionary heart that we take and we show to the rest of the world. It takes a big heart. It takes God's heart to be able to cross cultural and linguistic barriers to reach people for God. Do you have a heart like that? Not everyone, like Saul, is going to travel a long way to touch people for God. Some people, like Ananias, are going to stay, but they are still used greatly by God. The next few verses, or I think we read some of them, through Ananias the Lord healed Saul of his blindness, filled Saul with the Holy Spirit, took Saul through the waters of baptism. It's quite a big day of ministry, wasn't it? Established Saul into the community of believers, because all the other believers were like, "No, we're not letting this guy into church. He'll take us off to prison." So Ananias needed to be the bridge to help that happen. And then he released Saul into ministry. Maybe you're being called today to release others into ministry. Maybe you mums and dads and your grandmas and grandpas, maybe you're being asked by God today to release your young people who can go into ministry. Send them off as missionaries. What would have happened if Ananias had said, "No, Lord, I'm not doing what you want. It's too hard"? Well, I know God would have sent someone else to release Saul into ministry, but Ananias would have missed out on the adventure of a lifetime. Imagine how Ananias felt when he got Saul's missionary newsletters. Did you know that we have Saul's missionary newsletters in your Bible? A lot of the books of the Bible were written by the missionary Paul. Imagine how excited Ananias must be to read those, thinking, "I was the guy that God used to send him out there." You can have that excitement too if you release other people into ministry. Let's pray. We love you, Lord. We know the most precious thing we can give sometimes is not only our own lives, but the lives of the people in our family. So would you keep talking to us today and bring us into a place where we're really willing to do what you want us to do for your glory, so that many, many more Mongolians and other nations will be singing their songs in their language in heaven. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.